Welcome, everybody, to the MMQB Gambling Podcast, back for another week with my co-host. I'm Jimmy Traina. We have the senior editor of MMQB here at SI.com, Gary Gramling. Gary, how's it going?
I'm good. How's it going with you, Jimmy?
It's going
tough,
okay.
Tough board. Yeah. Tough board this week.
Don't love the board this week. Rough week last week. As always, Gary's brother, Scott Gramling, managing editor of DRF Sports Forum, is with us. Scott, how's it going?
I'm doing well, Jimmy. I'm doing well. I'm ready. I came here and to take my lumps on jumping off that KC bandwagon prior to last week. Just let me have it.
I figured I'd get through the intros without bragging about the fact that
there was
no bigger Chief fan in America the entire season than Scott Grambling, and then last week he decided to jump off the ship. And, of course, the Chiefs were, if you watch our video gambling show, The Line, they were my best bet last week. I picked them on the podcast this week. Last week, that's the cover-up. I really did go 2-3, but the Chiefs were my best bet. And I cashed in, and Scott got off. I mean, what's that expression? You know, you stay with the dance with the one you love or the one you brought or whatever it is. Some stupid, I mean, you just got right off it. Just abandoned ship.
I didn't like the matchup. I didn't like the spot. And boy, how wrong I was.
Not even a competitive game, really. It was the first quarter.
It was not competitive. It was
Bortles.
Oh, he was absolutely brutal. Yeah it was. I was 2-1 on sides last week. I had three 3-point underdogs, and I parlayed the three of them. And of course, I did not win the parlay because of, I can't even call them my Chiefs anymore. Your Chiefs, Jimmy.
No, they could be our Chiefs.
You're so kind.
I will say this. We'll probably get to it last because it's the second to last. It's the Sunday night game. I wouldn't touch that game this week. It is the big game of the week. I think it's going to be a phenomenal game to watch. Yeah. I will be very curious to see how the Gramlings, if they're on Chiefs-Patriots. But that's a little tease. We'll save it for later. Let's start with the 1 o'clock slates, week 6. My favorite team to watch this year, the Browns, at home, getting a point from the Chargers. And the Brownies here now, actually with 2 wins. Gary, what do you like in this one?
And looking to make a winning streak against the Chargers here since they beat them 2 years ago, I believe.
It'd be nice if they could play a game without overtime.
I know.
Baby steps.
And you know what? I'm leaning Chargers in this one just because the Browns, they played so many snaps this year. And again, I like the Chargers against teams that are not good. And I'm not sure the Browns, I'm not saying the Browns are bad, they're obviously improved. I think they are better than the AFC wildcard teams from last year, Buffalo and Tennessee. I think they could make the playoffs this year. I do think the Chargers are a better team than the Browns. It's basically a pick 'em spread here. So I'm going with the Chargers in this one, not feeling great about it, but taking LA.
I started off with bad hosting. I should have told everyone out there listening. The total on this game is 44.5 with that Chargers offense. I love the Browns this year, but they have so many problems in their defensive backfield right now, which could be a problem against the Chargers. Scott?
Yeah, Browns are definitely a different team this year, but I like the Chargers an awful lot in this spot. I'm kind of combining a trend and a betting system here, where Cleveland 0-13 against the spread under Hugh Jackson. Oof. Against defenses that allow a completion percentage of at least 64%. So the weak part of the Chargers, where you can really exploit them, is in that secondary. I think Baker Mayfield is going to gradually become a top-notch NFL quarterback to some degree. I don't think it's happening here. They are coming off a game where they scored only 12 points, and it did go into overtime. The betting system I have here is road favorites that average 255 or more passing yards a game, 11-1 against the spread since the start of 2014 after allowing 7 or more passing yards per attempt in the previous 3 games. So really what the logic behind that is, that the Chargers are vulnerable against the pass, but because of their ability to move the ball through the air against a team that has traditionally struggled against opponents that just don't defend the pass that well, I just think it all kind of adds up into what Gary's saying. I feel like this is a 7-10 point win for the Chargers on the road against the Browns.
I think it's going to be closer than that. Every week I'm torn. I want to bet the Browns because I love Baker, and I think this is a completely new team. And then I remember who the coach is, and I get a little nervous. Chargers here now coming across the country, big win against the Raiders. I wonder if there's a little letdown here. I'm on the Browns. I think at home now, I think they got a little momentum rolling. I don't think the Chargers are good. They have weapons, don't get me wrong. But I think, I especially like the over, and I don't know. I think the Browns keep it rolling here. I think the Chargers are a nice spot for the Browns to keep going here.
It is a pretty intriguing game, you know, compared to most of the rest of the other ones on the board. I'm finding, I think that it's one worth watching, and I'm not sure if before the season we would have thought that. I think it's really kind of become a. I'm not going to go so far as say must watch, but it's certainly one of the more intriguing games.
All right, we go now to Houston. The Texans coming off their win against the Cowboys, giving 10 points to the visiting Buffalo Bills. And the total on this game is very, very low for the NFL this year, 41.
Yes.
Scott, what do you like?
Tough game to call. If I had to pick it, I would take the points with the Bills, but by no means am I confident about that one. I'm just going to turn it over to you, Gary.
No, that's look, Bills are at risk of being shut out every week. They could lose this game 16-3, and then you got to cover there. I am going Bills on this one. Bills are, again, they're good defensively. I don't want to overstate it. You know, they don't have superstars on you know, among edge rushers. They have one good corner that usually doesn't add up to a good defense, but Sean McDermott's done a great job of that group. They're a solid defensive group. Texans, I don't know if the issues in the red zone continue with that offense, but I'm more worried about Deshaun Watson health-wise. I mean, he got the crap knocked out of him last Sunday night in an overtime game. I'm not sure they're quite going to be going full throttle this week, and they're in sort of a weird spot. They got to decide what they want to do with Deshaun Watson. Do they want to let him keep running around? Do they want to, you know, really emphasize keeping him in the pocket? I feel like it's probably going to be the former because that wins you games.
When you have DeAndre Hopkins, it should tell you, like, you know, what he did last week. Like, how about just throw, yeah. throw? I mean, yeah. My God, the guy was unstoppable.
I think the Bills cover in this one. I think they keep it close. I think this is one that the Texans are going to have to sweat out here.
All right, moving on now. We go to a one of the better games of the day. Like we said, not a great board, but it is one of the better games of the day. The Bengals host the rival Steelers. Bengals giving 2 points to Pittsburgh. Both teams coming off victories in this one. Bengals get that wild win against the Dolphins, and then the Steelers obviously take care of the Falcons last week. Total here, 52.5. Gary, any feel? Is this going to be a bet for you?
I like the Steelers in this one. I think the Steelers are coming around. Obviously, they played much better defensively last week against Atlanta. I've been kind of waiting for this defense to come together. And really, it just comes down to, are the cornerbacks going to play as well as they should play? They're not a great group, but they're not a terrible group, as they were for the first couple weeks of the season. Bengals, I just can't shake the feeling that this Bengals offense is overachieving here, especially that offensive line. I think when Pittsburgh ratchets up the pressure like they did last week against the Falcons, I think that gives them problems. But two trends here. Steelers have a 10-game winning streak that's straight up and against the spread against the Bengals in October games. And also, last 3 times Steelers have been an underdog against Cincinnati, they've won the game outright. So I like them going into Cincinnati and winning this rivalry game straight up.
Scott?
I agree with Gary on that one. I do like the Steelers here. What I like even more here is under 52.5. I just think that it's a rivalry game. You look at what the Steelers have done in their home road splits. Roethlisberger not nearly as good on the road. Not once in Pittsburgh's past 13 road games against AFC teams since the start of 2016 has more than 47 points been scored. Under is 14-4 in Pittsburgh road games against AFC teams since the start of the 2016 calendar year. To me, that's the best play on this game, under 52.5.
All righty. Speaking of totals, I don't have any thoughts on that game, I have to say. I think I like over. I just think the Steeler defense is just, it's not good. It's just not good at all. And I think the Bengals at home mix in there. They pull up some points. I would go over. I don't know about a side.
You don't think that rivalry kind of, you know, this is a hard-nosed physical game.
All these games end up with shootouts. Perfect with
is
the
back.
Steelers.
It's a better defense now.
I kind of like a ton of penalties. I think there's...
Go over the penalties. I wonder what that prop is going to be. 18 and a half?
Yeah, right.
I just think the Steelers are one of these teams that can score when they need to and can't stop anyone.
They did hold the Falcons to 17 points. That was a Falcons team.
Falcons are a mess right now.
Yeah, but they've been putting up points against everybody. You got to give them credit for that.
And I will back Scott a little bit on the under call. I always worry about Roethlisberger on the road. He's never been quite the same over the last couple of years. So I do like this being a slugfest and probably a lot of injuries, probably a lot of penalties. Don't let your kids watch this game.
No, it's going to be a 41-38 game, and Jimmy's going to be right.
The Steelers, to me, just bet the over every week on their game. Speaking of overs, here's a crazy one, and it's not even the biggest one on the board this week. So you have the Bucs visiting the Falcons, who we were just talking about. Bucs coming off a bye. Bucs visiting the Falcons. The total here is 57, not even the highest total on the board. Falcons will try to save their season, giving a field goal here to Tampa Bay. I'll go first here. Listen, I cannot imagine how anyone could sit there and bet the Bucs in this game. Jameis Winston now is going to be the quarterback. The Falcons have to save their season here. I have to believe at home they come away winning by more than a field goal. That's my thought on this. Scott?
I don't like the game. I think this is one of the tougher games to pick on the board. If I had to pick it, I probably would take the points just because I think it's a toss-up game.
But don't you think, like, that Fitzmagic, that was a little cute thing for 2 weeks. The Bucs, before the season, nobody thought they were any good. They got, you know, they have these wacky games with Fitzpatrick with a 400-yard. That's over now. I think that's
gone. I don't disagree with that. Yeah. You know, Winston under center. I'm more worried about when you look at this Atlanta team and what they've been doing in recent weeks, and they just seem to be getting worse. They're not righting the ship, and that defense especially is just giving up tons of yards, tons of points to everybody.
I won't bet them the rest of the season if they lose this one. I can tell you that, right? Yeah. This will be the last chance they get with
me. I'm staying away from it. I know where you're coming from on it, and it's tempting to think along those lines.
Yeah.
But I just don't have any faith. And, you know, when you look at when the Falcons go bad, they often tend to stay bad. Atlanta is 1-8 against the spread under Dan Quinn when coming off back-to-back straight-up losses. So this is not a team that's had a recent history of turning things around when things are going bad. And it just seems to keep getting worse.
Yeah. Gary, what do you got on this one?
I like Atlanta in this game. I don't love Atlanta in this game. I think it's fitting that they're playing indoors. I think they should just play on a 50-yard field and just set it up as an Arena League game at this point with these two defenses. I think we get Tampa with that predictable zone defense they play, and you saw what the Bears just did to them. I don't think they can really do anything differently. I don't think there are adjustments to be made. I think they're just going to give up a ton of points as the year goes on here. I do think the Falcons were caught a bit off guard when the Steelers got so aggressive after playing conservatively previous to last week's game. So I think the Falcons will score points. I think the Tampa will score points too because the Falcons can't stop anyone because they should have either signed Eric Reed or traded for Earl Thomas, and they didn't, and they stuck with their crappy guys. But I think this is a high-scoring game, and I think, you know, Atlanta at home, I think they outscore the Bucs in this one, and it ends up, I think it's going to be one of those games that is close realistically, but then it turns out being like a 10-point spread.
Right.
Anybody out there is into this kind of stuff? Buccaneers 5-1 against the spread. Past six times they've been on the road coming off of a bye.
All right. That's a good one.
Is a good one.
That's a good one.
I'm still sticking with my Falcons.
Me too.
That's a good stat.
I'm not trying to talk you. You know, we give both sides of every coin.
Me too. We're trying to give you the latest lines here. I thought this line was 3 all week, and now I see 3.5 for the Bears going into Miami. Total 41.5. So I guess money coming in here on Chicago. Scott, your thoughts on this one? Bears a road favorite.
Yeah, I love the Dolphins in this game. Absolutely love the Dolphins in this game. Same betting system that we spoke about last week, which led me to take the Browns against the Ravens. And it is teams that are outscoring opponents by at least 10 points per game. Going into last week, 2-14 against the spread since 2014 when coming off back-to-back games where they gave up 14 points or fewer. It's now 2-15 because the Browns not only covered, they beat the Ravens outright. It's the same situation that applies here, where the Bears are outscoring opponents by 10 or more points per game. Their last two games, they held opponents to 14 points or fewer. 2-15 since the start of 2014. I love this betting system because what it shows is that these teams tend to be overvalued. Teams that are outscoring opponents by that much. And what happens in these games, that happened with the Ravens earlier in the season, they blew out the Bills, and everything gets skewed for the power ratings and things like that. The Bears blew out the Buccaneers, power ratings get skewed, and they should not be laying 3.5 on the road against the Dolphins. The Dolphins are not as good as that 3-0 record to start the season, and we talked about that. It's why I love the Patriots. When you look at that game now, they were only given 6.5 at home against the Dolphins. But the Dolphins are not as bad as the 0-2 record. They've put forth the last two games, both tough spots on the road against first-place AFC teams, the Patriots and then the Bengals. I think the Dolphins win this game outright. I just think that they're probably every bit as good as the Bears, and they're playing at home. I'm taking the Dolphins.
Gary?
Yeah, no, I couldn't have said it better. In Gase we trust, in Gase I trust. And I just want to point out, Bears, yes, sitting at 3-1 right now. You could argue this is the toughest game they've had this year. When they went to Green Bay, Aaron Rodgers misses half the game, comes back gimpy. Other than that, I mean, they got Seattle at home, they got Tampa at home, and they went to Arizona. They should have lost at Arizona. And, you know, yeah, I'm not on the Trubisky bandwagon yet. Obviously, hey, 6 touchdowns, that's tremendous. That's a great performance. When you have receivers running that wide open all game, the game gets pretty easy. I don't think that's a scenario that will ever play out again in Mitch Trubisky's life, or maybe any quarterback's life in the NFL when your guys are that wide open all game. So yeah, I like Miami in this one.
I love the Bears.
Oh, Jimmy.
Should the Bears be favored on the road? Absolutely not. Should the Bears be giving 3.5 on the road? Absolutely not. Is this, you know, Miami coming off a loss, now they come home? Everything says Miami. Wrong. I've been on the Bears all year. I've watched all their games. And I've said on this podcast, Trubisky is very close to putting it all together. He put it all together against the Bucs. Now, a lot of that has to do with the Bucs. But there are so many weapons on that Bears offense that if Trubisky just has to play decently, they're going to score points. And here, this is the big key for me. The Dolphins' offensive line is a mess. They signed 2 offensive linemen in the offseason to help out. They're out for the year. Tunsil, concussion last week. And who's coming to town? Khalil Mack. Bears -3.5. That's all I got to say about that. All right. We go now to Washington. The Redskins giving only a point at home to the Panthers. Total 44.5. Scott?
I like the Panthers in this one. All your listeners out there, you can go back to the archives and you'll hear how much I like to go against the team that's coming off the Monday night road game. In this case, it's the Redskins coming off the road game on Monday night against the Saints, now returning home to play the Panthers. I think the Panthers are the better team. Tough spot for the Redskins. I like Carolina here.
Yeah, I very much like Carolina here. And, you know, I don't want to overreact to Monday night. Everyone saw what happened to Washington out there. Obviously, they're not that bad, but they're not better than Carolina. And you know, like you say, with the short week. I want to make one other point about the Panthers here. I think the Panthers, as much as anyone the last couple of years, this season is a process. And you want your team to get better over the course of the season. I think the Panthers do that. I think you're going to see that with this offense. You know, DJ Moore's getting a little more involved, but they came in, new offensive coordinator, a lot of changes there. They're kind of feeling their way through. They haven't really come close to their ceiling. Not that they're going to go out there and be not going to be the Chiefs or anything.
Right.
Let's not go crazy. But
right.
I think the Panthers are going to be a B-plus offense by the end of this year, and I think they're starting to move in that direction now.
I'm with both of you. You know, sometimes you look at all these things and you analyze this, analyze that. I just think the Panthers are clearly a better team than the Redskins. They're getting a point, and I think Gary makes a good point. The Panthers are getting better. I love the way they're using McCaffrey this year. Cam's playing great. Oh, God, I would love to see Cam Newton play with real wide receivers one year. I really would. And I don't think the Redskins are that good. I'm not just saying that because of what happened last week. I just don't think they're a good team. I think they're, you know, lower third of the league. And I think the Panthers are one of the better teams. And, you know, everything here points to Carolina probably than if you're listening, bet Washington.
I know the transitive property doesn't apply, but I mean, Washington is a team that less than a month ago lost 21-9 at home to the Colts, and the Colts really haven't been all that competitive.
Right.
Maybe that game against the Eagles they were, but
right.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you here, and you know, I just wonder. I'm just going to throw it out there again: two sides, every coin. If Graham Gano hadn't hit that lengthy field goal,
right.
would we be thinking and talking differently? Mm. It would be a different line, I'll tell you
that. I would actually
be
more confident in the Panthers. I would think, you know, I would say, listen, after a devastating loss like that, they're going to come back and blow the doors off
Washington. I agree
with you.
I do agree with you there. I just wonder, you know, would Washington – I think Washington would be a three-point favorite in this game had Graham Gano not made
that's
that kick.
A, yeah, that's a good point. And I don't – listen, here's the thing about the Giants. I mean, their offense can be a mess, but they at least they have – Barkley, Beckham, Sterling, Shepard, Redskins. I'm not Alex Smith with the dink and dunk. It's just not. They're not. The Redskins are a team I will be looking to bet against a lot this year.
Look, the weakness of the Panthers tends to be that secondary. And say what you will about the Giants do have receivers
weapons.
That can put pressure on a secondary.
Yep.
I don't see it with the way this
excellent
Washington team is set up and with Alex Smith, the point you made,
right.
Jimmy.
Yeah,
yep.
Absolutely. And the one, we've been bashing Washington so much, I just want to say something nice about him before we move on here. Washington can play with a lead. If they, again, if they get out, if they get an early touchdown, it's a little bit of a different proposition for them. They can't play from behind. You can't play from behind with Alex Smith.
Yeah.
You've never been able to, no matter where he's been. But
we now go to I think it's a rough game to watch. It's in London. The Seahawks giving 2.5 points to the Raiders. Again, it's in London, so no home field here. Seahawks 2.5 to the Raiders. 48 is the total. I don't know if this is, you know, Marshawn Lynch tries to get his revenge on the Seahawks and, you know, goes for like $1.50. But a rough game to watch, rough game to bet, in my opinion. Gary?
Yeah, no, I hate betting the London games anyway, just because I think there's such a fluke factor with the travel and all that stuff. So I wouldn't touch this one. I'd lean Oakland just because they're getting the points. I don't think either of these teams are particularly good. I think the Seahawks kind of, I don't want to call it their Super Bowl last week with the Rams, but, you know, they had that game and they let it get away. And I think there's maybe something of a letdown coming up here, but I purely because the Raiders are getting a couple points here, I'll go with Oakland in what I think is more of a pick 'em game.
See, you didn't get burned last week with the Raiders like I did. I'm scarred, so I wouldn't touch them with a 10-foot pole. Scott?
Yeah, I don't love Seattle here. I don't love this game. I think Gary makes a good point. It's very tough to handicap the London game. I've got some straight up betting systems. I know this isn't a pick 'em game that kind of pushed me in the direction of the Seahawks, and that's the way I would go here, but I'm staying away from this game as well.
Let's go to one of Gary's teams this year coming off a win, the Arizona Cardinals. Lit up the Niners. They now go into Minnesota getting 10 points, total 43. Since this is Gary's team, we'll go to him first. Can Josh Rosen keep it to 10 or less?
I just want to reiterate, in case anyone sort of zoned out for a second, coming off a win, the Arizona Cardinals.
Yeah.
I
road win at that.
Exactly.
A road win.
Yeah. I do. I like the Vikings in this one. Look, I'm very much on the Rosen bandwagon. Rosen slid back a little bit. I don't want to overstate it. It's, you know, we're looking at these things game to game and being like, he's regressing now. He was not very good in San Francisco last week. He got that 75-yard touchdown off a blown cover to start the game, and the 49ers kind of stink on offense. And that's sometimes how you win. But they go to Minnesota. I'm not even crazy about Minnesota's defense. I think they still have a little bit of work to do here. They're going in the right direction. I don't think they're dominant, but I do like the matchup of the Vikings receivers. You know, Cardinals have Patrick Peterson. They don't have a second corner. So, yeah, you know, whether it's going to be I would imagine they put Peterson on Thielen and then Diggs feasts on whoever else is trying to cover him. But Vikings also last 2 years 10-2 against the spread after September. They started a little slow last year, if you remember. Granted, the quarterback situation had something to do with that, but I do think the Vikings are getting better, and I think at home against let's face it, it's Cardinals are even I'm saying it. Cardinals are not very good, guys.
Yeah.
So I like the Vikings winning this one by 2 touchdowns.
Yeah. Scott, you know me. I like to throw out angles and trends and betting systems. Not bringing up any of that here. I just think this is simply the Vikings are not going to get caught off guard the way they did against the Bills the last time they played a completely crummy team at home. I think if they didn't fall flat on their face against the Bills, this spread would be 14.5. I think that the Cardinals are not that much better, if any better, than Buffalo. And I just don't think Minnesota's going to get caught off guard here. And I think they win this game relatively handily, I would say by 2 touchdowns.
You know, it's funny. I actually don't think Arizona's as bad as you.
They're worse than me.
If you watch the Cardinals this year, I don't know if you've watched a lot of them because I know you were on them, but if you've watched them, you know, if you take away Khalil Mack and J.J. Watt, you know who might be the best defensive player in the league? Chandler Jones.
I mean, Chandler Jones is really good.
I mean, he is really good. Will that make a difference here? I'm not sure. Diggs and Thielen seem to be now really rolling. Cousins seems to be more comfortable there. Now, I don't know what has happened to the Viking defense. Yes, the Everson Griffin thing hurts them, but it's hard to see Arizona going in there and keeping this close. 10 is a lot. I wouldn't bet it. I would go over 43, though, that's for sure. Mm-hmm. I think the Viking offense is really clicking well. And, you know, I think Josh Rosen can go in there and put up 14, 17 points.
No, I agree with you. I think the Vikings are going to score 30-something points. So I think Josh Rosen can put up enough points to
I think the over there is a hot play.
I mean, can I just put it out there, though? Yeah. Like, the Vikings defense, I don't think has been as bad as a lot of people are saying. They turn the ball over. That Bills game, I almost think you just have
to throw
it out.
It's a comparison, I think, to last year, though where they
were. But the matchups, here's the other teams they've gone up against besides the Bills. 49ers when Garoppolo was still under center there and was an offense looking up. The Packers on the road. The Rams on the road. The Eagles on the road. You know, I just think that we'll learn this week of whether that Vikings defense is a top five NFL defense. I think it is. We'll find out against the Cardinals.
No, you could certainly argue situationally those linebackers have gotten burned on some long touchdowns, and is that something, you know, there are plenty of teams that have linebackers don't cover particularly well.
I haven't seen a pass rush from them this year like last year. The defense is a little bit different this year for the Vikings.
I will say, I just want to borrow one note from the Deep Dive podcast, which again on Thursdays for me and Andy. We've talked about this Cardinals defense quite a bit. It is a good defense. Yeah. They are weird with the personnel. They have not been playing Deion Buchanan much. They haven't been playing Hassan Reddick much. They have Gerald Hodges and some journeymen who have been in there. They're starting to play Reddick more. I thought it was already an okay defense. Maybe they get to the point where they're, you know, this is maybe a B-plus defense.
Do you not like Josh Bynes?
I mean,
Josh Bynes won my fantasy league for me.
I was going to say, I thought it IDP. Went without saying that we all love Josh Bynes. Exactly. But
I want to know what's going on with David Johnson. He's not been the David Johnson.
Their offensive line stinks. I don't think Mike McCoy uses him well. But that's a discussion for another time.
Yeah, yeah. Here's another rough 1 o'clock game. Jets giving 2.5 to the Colts. Total 45. Gary, let's go to you on this one.
I have a Jets lean in this one. I don't love this game. I don't love the game itself, and I don't love either of the teams in this game. The Colts are so absurdly banged up. I mean, they're running out basically a practice squad defense at this point. And you saw last week, you know, Denver's a better than practice squad defense. When you take deep shots in this league, you can put up some points. Sam Darnold should have been taking more deep shots the last couple weeks during that slump. You saw it a little more last week. You know, I don't know if Isaiah Crowell is going to have a
75-yard run.
Yes. Yeah. Just, I mean, he had absurd numbers last week. I don't think that's repeatable. But Jets can score enough points. And, yes, Andrew Luck can hang around. But I lean Jets in this one, especially with a home field advantage. And again, mostly Colts are... they're just banged up.
Scott? I don't think I lean either way on this one. I thought that I thought the Jets might be overvalued and maybe this line would be 3.5 or 4, in which case I would have tried hard to convince myself to take the Colts. Mm-hmm. But because it's not that high, I'm simply staying away.
Yeah, I like the Jets -2. To me, the Colts are not a team I want my money on. The Jets offense should be able to win this game. Yes, Andrew Luck is there for the Colts, but there is nothing else there on the Colts.
Does it seem like a strange line to you? Didn't you think the line would be 3.5?
Maybe a field goal. At least a field goal. I'm shocked it's under a field goal, and that, you know, maybe they're suckering me in, and you know, they'll be damaged. All right, let's go to the 4 o'clock slate. Scott, we'll start with this one here. Like I said, 4 o'clock games now. Rams, second road game in a row. They survived in Seattle. Will they survive at Denver? They're giving a touchdown. Total 52.
If I had to take it, I would go back to the well with the Rams. I still think the Broncos are awful. I thought it before the season, and it's just continued to confirm that. Only team without an against the spread win this season. So if I had to play it, I'd play the Rams. I just don't like giving that many points on the road. I was leaning Rams last week against the Seahawks. It wasn't the right play. I could see this game being a 30-24 type of game, something in that neighborhood. You know, maybe it's 28-21. If I had to pick it, I'd take the Rams, but I'm staying away.
Yeah.
Now, I was going to say, I love picking against Denver on the road, but I don't want to overstate that as if they are significantly better at home. That said, they're a little bit better at home, and you saw them give the Chiefs a game on Monday night a couple weeks ago. I think last week was a little bit of a residual effect with the hangover from that game and having to go east on the short week. I'm going to regret this, but I think they can hang around in this one. I think they hang around. I think the Rams are obviously banged up at receiver a little bit. They're also banged up at cornerback. I don't know if Marcus Peters is hurt or what, but I think everyone's going to test him. And look, maybe Peters gets him for two interceptions or something like that, and then you lose the game by 20 anyway. But teams are going to go after Peters here. I think the Rams can give up points some weeks, and I think I just always think, I know this is stupid, but psychologically, I just always think at Denver with the thin air, it's a unique atmosphere. I think when they host teams out there, there's a little bit more of an edge. So I'll take Denver getting the touchdown here.
Everything you said was in my brain as well. Listen, I'm looking to bet the Chiefs and Rams every week. That's what I'm looking to do right now. And I got to say, if I was going to bet this game, I would bet the Broncos as well. And Gary stated most of the reason. I mean, Marcus Peters got lit up like a Christmas tree last week. It was unbelievable. Now, Denver doesn't have, Demaryius Thomas has seen his better days there in Denver, Emmanuel Sanders. The Seahawks don't have great receivers either. And they torched Peters over and over. Cup, concussion. Brandon Cooks, concussion. And now you're going back-to-back road games, thin air in Denver. I think it's a tough spot for the Rams. Maybe McVay says, we got the wide receiver injuries. Let's give Todd Gurley 30 carries, and they could win this game, 30-7 just by doing that because he's unstoppable. But I would never have the guts to bet Denver +7, but that would be my wager on it. Let's move on now to Big D Dallas. They are at home welcoming in the Jaguars. The Jaguars are giving a field goal on the road here in Dallas, total 40.5. Scott?
I like the Jaguars in this game. I really do.
Back to the well after they burned you last week.
They did burn me last week. And
Blake Bortles throwing the ball off anyone's helmet this week?
I don't think he will. I'm hoping he will not. I feel like that the Jaguars are going to approach this game, that they can control the ball. They're not facing a prolific offense by any stretch of the imagination. I feel like Dallas has been worse at home than they've been on the road. Jacksonville actually comes into this one 10-5 against the spread over the past 15 road games, so they've been solid there. It's just a Cowboys offense that I think cannot hurt this Jaguars defense, and I think the Jaguars are going to take a more careful approach. I mean, Jaguars offense put up more than 500 yards against the Chiefs. It's just the Bortles was careless with the football.
Right.
I think they're going to make sure in this one that he's not careless with the football.
Yeah. It's the Jaguars are very, very weird from this standpoint. I saw a bunch of stats when Fournette got hurt about I don't think it was that they win more games without Fournette, but I think the offense puts up more yards or they score more points when Fournette's not playing. But if you've watched the Jaguars over the last few weeks, they miss Leonard Fournette. I don't think there's any question
about
that.
There's no doubt. There's no doubt. I agree with you there.
So it's a weird kind of thing because the numbers don't bear it out. But they have missed Fournette, and I think that's hurt their offense. And then now they lose Grant, who's a little bit of a weapon out of that. And then they signed Jamal. Our producer, Harry, just whispered Jamal Charles. Talk about, what the hell are you doing with that? I don't know. But I think after being embarrassed in Kansas City, the Jaguar defense takes a stand here and holds the Cowboys to about 10 points. Gary, what are your thoughts on this game?
No, I don't like the game at all, but I do think the Cowboys, I'd be curious to see a team just try and sort of ram it down the Jaguars' throat like teams did early last year and just sort of establish the run with that. And the Cowboys have been a little bit better running the ball inside this year. They've had to be with Travis Frederick out. Their outside zone scheme is not quite working like it was. So I kind of like the Cowboys just because they're getting the points. I'm not crazy about the game, though. And to the Fournette point, I think the Jaguars trying to make up for that by doing a lot of first down passing, which can work. It's a little bit easier on your quarterback because, you know, if a team's got their base defense, expected run, stuff like that.
Yeah.
But boy, when it goes like it went with Blake Bortles last week, I mean, that's kind of what you get with Bortles.
I mean, great matchup for the Jags with that non-explosive Cowboy offense. All right, here's another rough game, I think. The Ravens, coming off that loss to the Browns, are giving 2.5 points in Tennessee to the Titans, a team I cannot figure out ever, and it's been that way for years. Total 41.5, Gary.
This one's another brutal one. I mean, I'm taking the Titans because, again, they're getting the points in what I think is a pick'em game. I mean, these teams, it's just impossible to get a read on either offense because it's the Titans are smoking mirrors with what they do because they just don't have the talent, and the Ravens just occasionally show up. And last week they decided, like, oh, yeah, Michael Crabtree's going to torch the Browns second. Michael Crabtree hasn't torched anyone in 5 years here. It was a terrible game plan, and that's why they lost the game to the Browns. They have had weeks where they show up with creative stuff and original stuff. You saw it in Pittsburgh in the Sunday Nighter a couple weeks ago. So, again, all that is just to say two good defenses, two creative defenses, no points in this game, and I like Titans just because they're getting the plus 2.5.
I love Tennessee in this game, and it's the same betting system we talked about earlier in the show with the Dolphins and the Bears. The Ravens are the team that are outscoring opponents by 10 or more points per game, coming off back-to-back games where they gave up 14 points or fewer. Those teams, as we said, 2-15 against the spread since the start of 2014. I like the Titans here. I like them a lot. Tennessee, 13-3 straight up and 11-4-1 against the spread at home over the past two calendar years. I think because they don't do things in any kind of a pretty way, they don't get a lot of respect from odds makers and from bettors. I think they should be favored in this game. I think that they're going to win this game outright, and this is another one where I'm taking a small home underdog, and I'm going to take them on the money line as well as the points.
I actually like the over in this game. The Raven offense was really rolling until they played the Browns last week, so I'm not going to let 1 week throw me off there. The Titans are just, like I said, I can never figure out the Titans. I mean, 1 week you think they're going to score 6 points, then they come out and they're scoring 27 points. I don't know, the total's so low here for this year, 41.5. You know, 3 years ago, that's not a low total. This year, 41.5 is nothing. So if I had to put some cash down, I would go over in this game.
Jimmy, I think it's a great point. Yeah. I think it's a great point because that line is an overreaction to the very low scoring games of Browns Ravens and of Bills Titans.
Right. Yeah. The big one. Sunday night, the Chiefs visit the Patriots. The Patriots giving 3.5. Biggest total of the season, 59.5. So before we make fun of Scott again for jumping off the Chiefs bet, let's start with this.
I deserve it.
Let's start with this. Let's do something different. The total is 59.5. Is this game going over or under, Gary?
I think it's going over.
Over the 59.5. Biggest total this year. Scott, you think it's going over or under?
If I had to pick it, I would go... I'd probably go over as well.
Oh, wow. All right. So that means, you know, get the popcorn, the beer, the pizza, get it all ready to go Sunday night because you're going to have a lot of points. All right. 3.5 points, the Patriots. Scott, where are you going? With your Chiefs. Are you back on the bandwagon?
No, I think that...
2 weeks in a row.
Yeah. I don't love the Patriots
here. This is a breakup.
Here.
This is not Ross and Rachel. I'm on a break. This is a breakup.
This is rough. My Mahomes jersey is going to be arriving soon, and I'm just going to have to give it to you, Jimmy. I think, this is a spot here where I just feel like the Patriots that have, you know, the kind of half bye week coming off the Thursday night game, extra time to prepare. I think that's a factor. I don't think it's a factor a lot of times, but I think in this particular instance, I feel like it is something that's a factor. And I just feel like, you know, until you knock off the champ, and that's what the Patriots are in the AFC, I really find it hard to go against the Patriots in this one. I just feel like, you know, there's a lot of trends, obviously, in the Patriots' favor. They're 9-1 against the spread as a home favorite of a touchdown or less since the start of 2016. Again, I wouldn't bet the game. I'm going to be highly entertained by it. But I have more than a slight lean toward New England in this one.
2 weeks in a row, betting against the Chiefs.
It pains me.
Shocking
it
turn
pains
of events.
Me.
They play the Bengals next week, the Chiefs, so maybe you'll be back on the bandwagon.
They switched that to Sunday night,
Sunday
by the
night,
way.
Yeah. I was going to say back-to-back Sunday nights now for the Chiefs. Yeah. Gary, what do you got here on the big one?
Chiefs should just play primetime every week now.
I agree.
I'm going Patriots. I have no allegiance to the Chiefs, so this is not nearly as dramatic at this point.
Right.
But
but you got the Lions on a bye, so you can pick a team here to fill in.
I know. Guys, I think the Patriots are really good. That's going to be my new team. You saw last week in New England, they're back to a point where they have their full complement of weapons. They can do whatever they want offensively. If you take away two fluky drops that turn into interceptions, and everyone forgets the Julian Edelman, probably the easiest drop of the game, which amounted to a turnover because they had the punt right after that, they would have scored 50-something points last week. Granted, Colts on a short week, that's a little bit different, but I don't think the Chiefs' defense is a whole lot better here. I think the Patriots can basically move the ball however they want, and it's going to be, can Mahomes keep up with Brady on the road in Foxborough when Belichick has the extra 3 days to prepare for him? So I like the Patriots in this one. I think this is one that I think we're going to see 60-something, high 60s, maybe 70 points in this one. But Patriots get this one.
I'm going to take the Chiefs.
Of course.
I'm getting 3.5 points. With an offense that can't be stopped, I think Bill Belichick is the greatest coach in the history of the sport. I don't think he's going to stop this offense. Am I worried about a Bill Belichick versus Andy Reid matchup if it's a close game and clock management's a factor? Absolutely. Absolutely, that worries
me. That's
why
you're getting the 3.5.
But I don't think it's going to be – I don't think it's even going to be – I mean, listen, this is a money line bet for me. I think the Chiefs win the game. I'm not going to – I mean, the Patriots – beating the Colts and Dolphins is not going to get me back on their bandwagon. Their offense is a lot. Here's the thing. I do think you get a little burnt maybe with Josh Gordon. He looks like he's a really good fit there. But a lot of that Patriot offense is James White, dink and dunk here, run. It's still not throw the ball down the field, throw the ball down the field. And I think if you're playing the Chiefs, you better throw the ball down the field. Again, the Patriots save their season with wins against the Dolphins and Colts. I shouldn't say save their season. That's ridiculous. But turn their season around with wins against the Dolphins and Colts. There's a whole new level, and nothing is slowing down the Chiefs as far as I'm concerned.
Jimmy, we got to throw it back at you. Over or under 59.5?
I think it's going to be an under.
Yeah.
I think this is like a...
It could still be a high-scoring game and be under.
30-24, 31-21, something like that. But I think the Chiefs win the
game. It could be 31-27 and still under the total.
Yeah.
That's how high that number
Chiefs,
is.
Yeah, I think the Chiefs win the game. And then we wrap it up Monday night. Packers in Lambeau at home giving 9.5 points to the Niners, who are seeing a lot of prime time without Jimmy G, which is a big problem. Total 46.
I'll start
half.
With this one.
Yeah.
I have no idea where to go on this game, so I'm just going to turn it over to Gary, to be quite honest.
No, this is the only game that I truly love this week. I do love the Packers. I thought the Packers would be giving well into double digits on this one.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, you look at the Niners there, and I don't want to overreact to a home loss to the Cardinals, but no Jimmy G, that's a completely different offense. Their defense, we knew coming into the season, their defense was a work in progress here. Aaron Rodgers' knee looks like it is pretty much back at this point. He was taken off the injury report last week. He played, the numbers were good, and he probably played even better than the numbers would suggest last week because, you know, receivers were terrible. He had a couple rookies in there. He had Devontae Adams dropped a big pass. 5 missed field goals. I mean, you know, they would have scored 30-something points there. So the one note I'll give on this one, I like the Packers at a glance anyway, but Aaron Rodgers at Lambeau Field when the Packers are given more than touchdowns, so 7.5 plus, and you know, it's sort of a crummy team, so that the total is under 48. That is 18-6 against the spread career, and that is 13-2 since the start of the 2011 season. So I think the Packers win this one by 2 touchdowns pretty easily.
I agree. I think this is all the makings of a, you know, Packers rough loss against the Lions last week. They come home. It's Monday night. It's Lambeau Field. You know, Mason Crosby missed those 5 field goals last week. I cannot see the Niners offense being able to keep up with Green Bay. There's just not enough there for them to do that. All right, let's go to the best bets to wrap up the show. Scott, how many picks you got for us? And
I've got another 5-pack.
All right, let's hear it. I'll have a 5-pack.
So I'm coming into this one, 13-4 on sides and 1-2 on totals. So not too good on the totals. I've got 3 sides. I've got 2 totals. I'm taking the Chargers in Cleveland. I am taking Jacksonville in Dallas. And I am taking Tennessee. I'm sorry, I miscounted here. I've got Miami as well, and I just
so a 6-pack.
Yeah, a 6-pack.
Right. More traditional.
So I've got Tennessee and Miami as the small home underdogs, and I've got the Chargers and the Jaguars as the small road favorites.
And then you have totals.
Totals. I've got the Steelers Bengals under 52.5. And I'm going Seattle-Oakland over. Those international games just tend to be a bit sloppy. And I've got a system here that's, you know, a team coming off a close loss of 7 points or less to a divisional rival, 18-5 over the total in non-conference games. So those are my 6.
6. Gary, how many?
I've only got 3 here. Okay. Packers in that Monday night are given whatever they end up giving, as long as that spread stays under 14 points. I got Packers in that one. Panthers getting the point at the moment, right? That's what we have it as at Washington. You know, so essentially a pick-em game there. And I'm going to go the over in Cardinals Vikings. I think Vikings are scoring 30 plus points in that one, and Josh Rosen can put up enough to sort of push that one over the what's currently a 43-point total.
That is. I got 5 for you, too. I like Carolina as well. I like Atlanta to save their season -3 at home against the Bucs. I like the Chiefs. I think they win outright against the Patriots, but I'll gladly grab those 3.5 points. And I like the Jaguars giving the 3 at Dallas. I think that was one of your picks, right? Jaguars -3.
Yep.
So we have I'm with you on the Packers. I'm with you on the Jaguars.
You're not taking the Bears here? I'm not trying to force you into it. I just
yeah, I forgot about my Bears. You know what it is? I see that half.
The half is
nervous.
Tough, yeah.
It makes me nervous, that half.
Yeah, the hook is big in that game.
But you know what? I'll take the Bears. Why not? You convinced me. Give me Chicago, too.
All right, so we'll recap yours here, Jimmy.
I got the Bears, the Panthers, the Falcons, the Packers, the Chiefs, and the Jaguars.
That's a 6-pack.
Yeah. And I didn't like the board.
That's what happens when we go through 47.5 minutes of talk here where
exactly.
We land, right?
All right, so hopefully we all have winning records next week. Enjoy Chiefs-Patriots on Sunday night. I'm sure there'll be a ton of money on that game coming in. Vegas will have a field day with that. Total 59.5. Looking forward to it. The Grambling Brothers say it goes over. Can't wait to discuss that next week. And that wraps up this edition of the MMQB Gambling Podcast. See you next week.
Have a profitable weekend, everybody.
Tip of the hat to Albert, another strong edition of MMQB. Did you know your favorite team has a daily podcast on the Locked On Podcast Network? Steelers fans, we have you covered with Locked On Steelers. Cowboys fans, it's Locked On Cowboys. And Chiefs fans, it's Locked On Chiefs. You get the picture. Search Locked On, your favorite team. Search on Apple Podcasts or Google Podcasts for Locked On, your favorite team. Or tell your smart speaker to play podcasts Locked On, your favorite team. Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.